Margie had a relatively brand new Ford Bronco Sport. And one day she called me from Peachtree City and she said, "Paul, the car won't start." And I'm like, "What? It's like a new car, honey. And we haven't paid it off yet, so it shouldn't be anything wrong." And so I drove all the way from Jonesboro to Peachtree City. It took about 40 minutes. And when I got there, she was stuck in the middle of a parking lot. And so I went to turn the key. You know what that means? Battery dead. So I jumped her off. I said, "You take my truck and you go home in my truck. I'm going to drive your car. It's a dead battery. I'm just going to drive to like the auto parts or place or whatever. I'm going to get a new battery. Because here's the thing, your car will not work with a dead battery, right? Your life won't work unless you have the power of God in your life. You got that? You can try to go through life on your own, and eventually you're going to get beat up, you're going to get knocked down, you're going to keep turning around, you're going to find yourself in all of these crazy places, and it's, you can't go on. So today I want to kind of talk about the difference of our power and God's power. Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. It's sometimes in our lives, we come to church on Sundays and we feel, okay, we're uplifted. But I'm telling you, the battle doesn't happen here on Sunday mornings. Sometimes it feels like a battle. The lights are too bright, the heat's too hot, or it's too cold, or, you know, we can't get it just right, you know, that kind of thing. And so that could be a battle, but most of the time on Sunday mornings, this is not a battle. The battle takes place Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday when we're out in the world and we're supposed to be living the lives in God's power. And we find ourselves, we don't have that power. Maybe someone asks us a question about the Bible or asks us about something and we don't know because we're powerless because we haven't been plugging into the source. Or sometimes we feel like, okay, I'm going to pray and I'm praying and I'm praying and it doesn't seem like God is hearing my prayers because we're not praying with power. We're not praying in the Spirit. We're just kind of throwing out some things. And so I want to take us back to a story in Exodus. We were in Exodus a couple weeks ago, and we have been talking about what's missing. And Sandra and I used to always laugh. We said if we ever got a church sign, we would never put up the one that goes, "Ch-ch-ch, what's missing? You are." You know, you got C-H-C-H. What's missing? You are. For church, right? I said, we are not going to put up something that cheesy, right? But what is missing in our lives? Well, first, if you don't have Jesus Christ, that's the biggest thing. Get Jesus Christ. That starts the whole thing. Second thing, you've got to connect with a local community. And when you connect with a local community, you find yourselves with iron sharpening iron. You find yourself being able to navigate life together with people that are going through the same thing. You think you're alone, but you're not. And then last week, one of the biggest things that we're not plugging into, Sandra talked about it, is God's Word. Maybe we don't know the Scripture because we're not opening God's Word. We're reading books about the Bible. Oh, yeah, I heard so-and-so once said this. Well, okay, I understand that so-and-so said that, but what did God say about that? And you've got to plug into the source right here. And so today, I want us to plug in and think about God's power. And the story that I want to take us to is in Exodus, and I'm going to start in chapter 3. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a background. You all know Abraham, and that's where it began. And Abraham, God spoke to Abraham, and he said, "I want you to step out in faith. I want you to go to a place that I haven't even told you." Now, most of us, we would be like, "Where do you want us to go? I want you to just go." Well, what direction? Do I go right or left, north or south? Where do I go? But Abraham just, in faith, followed God's plan. He just started going. God wants you to just start walking. And once you start walking, God will reveal to you what he wants you to do. So here's Abraham. And Abraham is the father of all the major religions. The Muslims, they look to Father Abraham. The Jews look to Father Abraham. The Christian faith, we look at Abraham. And in Abraham, he goes off and he has a son, Isaac. And then Isaac has Jacob. And Jacob gets his name changed to Israel, and he has 12 sons, and that became the 12 tribes. And his youngest son, or one of his young sons, Joseph, is sold into slavery. And as he's being sold into slavery, he ends up in Egypt, and he ends up going through prison and everything else, and he rises up to the second in charge of all of Egypt. And then 70 of the Jews come, and they're in Egypt. And so things are going well, and everything's happened. The famine in the land, but Egypt's prepared because of Joseph's foresight. And they're going on. There's about 70 Jews there. And all of a sudden, over the years, they start to expand to over 2 million. And there's 2 million Jews now living in Israel. And a new Pharaoh takes over, and he's going, there's more of them than us. They could realize one time that they're more powerful than us and take us over. So what should we do? I got it. Let's make them our workforce. He turns them into like slaves. And not only that, he goes out and he tells the midwives, hey, when these Jewish women start to have babies, if it's a boy, kill it. If it's a girl, let her live. And so we see this going on and on and on. But then there's this one Jewish boy that's born. And his mom takes him, puts him in a little basket, and floats him down the river. And that's Moses. And so we're going to look a little bit about Moses. For 40 years, Moses is in Egypt. And then he leaves. And then he's 40 years in the wilderness. And as he's in the wilderness, he goes up on the mountain. He's almost 80 years old. He goes up and he sees a bush that looks like it's on fire, but it's not burning. And the voice of God begins to speak to him. And so that's where I want us to land today. And I'm going to talk about some things, because Moses gives us some big buts here. But Lord, I want us to see this, because we do the same thing. These are the same answers maybe that we have. And so let's look at the first one. I'm in Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. And the first thing Moses is going to say is, who am I? Why are you choosing me? This is chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. He says this, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? In other words, he's saying, like, who am I? But Lord, who am I? You want me to go and tell the most powerful man on the world? You want me to tell the most powerful nation in the world to, like, okay, those 2 million people you got doing all of your work, let them go. Who am I? So God has an answer for that. God answers this. He said, God, I will be with you, and this shall be a sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. So Moses is expressing, like, well, look, I'm nobody. I don't even speak well. I stutter. That's what they think. I stutter. I'm no good with people. I can't go back to Egypt. Who am I to do this? And God is saying, no. My presence will be with you. There's power that comes when we submit ourselves to God. In other words, yeah, I'm going to try to do this in my own strength. And you know what? I may fail. And when I do, I'm going to kind of get back up into a ball. But if I am doing this in the presence of God, knowing that God is with me, that I'm acting for God, then I have the power of God with me, not just me. Moses, when he goes to the Red Sea and he holds up the staff and the water parts, it's not the staff and it's not Moses, it's the power of God that parts the sea. When Paul is on the road to Damascus and he's going to crucify and to arrest all of these Christians because they're going against his religion, it is the power of God that blinds him and knocks him off of the horse. When Elijah was in the cave and God says, I'll show you who I am. And he shakes the mountain. And the wind blows. And there's fire. That's the power of God, not the power of man. So Moses is 80 years old. And he's coming and he's hearing God. Who am I? And God is saying, you don't have to worry about who you are because of who I am. and I will be with you. Your presence, my presence will be with you. Sometimes we come to church, and I admit, when we were doing praise and worship, and I saw Peyton and Naomi and Ashton, and they start raising their hands and stuff, I get choked up, and I get this tingly feel. It's not because me, Steve, and Sandra, and Alex today are playing great. It's not because the lights create this great effect. It's not because the temperature in the room is good. It's because God is beginning to move, the Spirit of God. We pray for things, and oftentimes we pray for God's hands. God, give me a new job. God, give me money. God, give me food. God, give me this. God, give me this. God, give me this. When we really want to see God's face, we want His presence. I can tell you this because I have grandchildren, and I love my grandchildren. And my newest grandchild, Rhea, she's like the love of my life. And she'll come, and I shared with you one time, she comes and she'll give me a toy, and she stands there. Because as soon as she gives me the toy, and I go, oh, she grabs it and takes it back. Kids oftentimes want things. I remember as a kid, you know, I would say, oh, I want this. Mom, can I have a go-kart? Mom, can I have a motorcycle? Mom, can I have this? Mom, can I have this? When what our parents want is not the material things. What our parents want is just, hey, can I just have a hug? Can I just have your presence? Can you just be with me? Instead of asking for things, can you just be in my presence? And we need that. It's like when Rhea comes up to me, and I love it now when I'll pick her up and I'm holding her and we're making elephant sounds or we're making animal sounds, but then I'll say, hey, squeeze my neck. And she'll lean into me and just, and it's a beautiful moment. It's just the presence that I want. So let's go to the second thing. When God calls you to do something, He's going to be right there. So the second question that Moses is going to ask is, well, God, you know, I asked you who I am, but who are you? Who should I tell him is sending me? This is in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. But Moses, there's the but Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? In other words, God, who are you? I mean, who should I tell them is sending me? I don't know. God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. In the Hebrew, it's Ea Esha Ea, which means I am who I am. Or it could be translated as, where's my notes? Sorry. It could be translated as, I will choose to be what I choose to be. Another translation in the Hebrew could be, I will be what I will be. Another translation is simply, I am the existing one. In other words, God is God. God existed before us. He's self-existent. He's not dependent on anybody or anything, and He is transcendent. So, do you believe in God? If so, what is His name? Who is He? Because there are many different gods out there that people worship. People will worship Muhammad, even though he was a person. They'll worship Buddha. They'll worship all of these different things. And we find out that not all roads lead to the same place. I dropped my daughter-in-law and Rhea off at the airport the other day, and they were flying to San Diego to go visit some friends. Now, can you imagine she comes into the airport, and she's trying to figure out the Atlanta airport, and for people that aren't from Atlanta, it's the busiest, biggest airport in the world, so it's kind of crazy, you know, and they're always changing gates. So you go in there, and your phone says, okay, you're going to A21, and you look up on the board, and it says something else, A19, and so you ask for some help, and you say, what gate do I go to go to San Diego? And they say, okay, it's been moved to A19. So why did they tell you that? Because you want to get home. You want to get to where you're going, right? So they send you to the gate. Suppose that the gate person says, well, it says A19, but we want to be fair to all the other gates. So what we want to do is we're going to send you to B12, okay? Just go to B12. Because we want to be fair. We don't want just you to go to this one gate. We want you to experience the whole system of Atlanta Hartsfield. It's crazy. You will not get to where you're supposed to go because you're at the wrong place. And there are so many religions and so many teachers out there that are teaching false things, and people are buying into this and following this because they don't have the power of God and they don't know God's name. Know Jesus, get in community, get into the Bible, and then plug yourself into God's power and make yourself available to Him. He is who He said He is. And all the other gods bow down to Him. The third thing, Moses says, but, you know, what if they don't believe me? Chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Then Moses answered, but suppose they do not believe me or listen to me, but say, the Lord didn't appear to you. You ever been like that? You ever been like that? Maybe your friends. I don't know why you're doing that. Who do you think you are? Well, the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? He said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake, and Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and seize it by the tail. So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, their God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. In other words, Moses, just throw the staff down. It's a snake. He's backing up from it. He says, now pick it up. He reaches back by the tail, picks it up. It becomes a staff again. He's going, look, I'm the one that's going to make you credible. In other words, Moses feared he was going to be being viewed as like, who do you think you are? You're coming to me, basically the king of the world, Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet at the time. And you're telling me, what? Who do you think you are? And God didn't speak to you. I am God. We have to apply God's strength if we are going to approach a world that is dark and needs to find God. The story in the New Testament is where God has changed something in me. Remember the man that was blind? And then Jesus healed him, and he goes in, and people say, well, God didn't do that because you were healed on the Sabbath. God didn't do that. You must have been healed by somebody else. What did the man say? I can't tell you that. All I know is I was blind, but now I see. And we get caught up like, well, what if they don't believe me? Well, what if, tell your story. Well, I'm afraid to tell my story. I don't have a great testimony. Well, let me help you out with that. All you have to say is, I used to blank. Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. I used to run around. I used to lie. I used to cheat. I used to steal. I used to, whatever it is, fill in the blank. I used to this. But then Jesus got a hold of my life and changed something in me. And then now I, since then I, takes 10 seconds. For you to share your testimony. Man, I used to be crazy. I used to always be depressed. I used to be this. But then Jesus got a hold of my life. And ever since then, man, I got a joy that I can't even understand. I can't even explain it to you. I just know that it's something real in my life. How long did that take? Maybe 10 seconds. 15 seconds, maybe. You know, when you go into a room and you turn on the light switch, there's no darkness at all. I mean, there could be if you didn't pay your bill or something like that. But with God, there is no, he's not going to run out of power. When you plug into God, you have the strength to get through anything. Power comes when we trust in God's plans and His directives. How do we know that? We get into His Bible, like Sandra taught us last week, and we say, what does the Bible say about this? The Bible says that we are to be planted like a tree by getting into His Word. We don't sit in the seat of scoffers. We don't do any of that stuff because we are in the Word of God, and we have a power that the world doesn't understand. Power comes when we trust in God's plans and in His Word. Number four. So Moses tries this approach. Well, you know, I'm not really good with people. I'm not good with talking to people. In other words, Moses begins to focus on his abilities or what he, who he thinks he is. So this is what he says in chapter 4, verses 10. But Moses said to the Lord, "O my Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor even now that you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." They said that he probably was a stutterer. Then the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to the mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." In other words, Moses is focusing on his insecurities. "God, I'm not really the guy for you. You know, I'm not very good with words. What am I going to say to Pharaoh? You know, what do I do?" And God reminds him, "Listen, it's not about you. It's about me. It's not about you, Moses. It's about me." Power is found when we rely on what God and who God says we are. God says you were fearfully and wonderfully made. So don't believe the lies of the world that you're no good, that you're second rate, that you're multi-sexual or whatever when you look in the mirror. God made you. And God gives you the strength and the power to live in that when you focus on His power and not on our insecurities. It's not who we are, but whose we are. I remember the first time that I was leading a conference, and at the Tri-High Y's and the Y Clubs, and I was like in charge of the music and stuff, and there were like about 1,500 high school kids out there. And so I'm up there with my guitar, and you know, so I'm talking to one of the guys that's going to be speaking. I said, "Well, man, how am I supposed to act? What am I supposed to do?" And he's just looking at me like crazy. He says, "Paul, it's not about you. Just go out there and lead worship. Do what you're supposed to do." And it's like, okay. You know, in other words, if I go out there and I start playing the guitar and I start singing, it's like the people don't even see me anymore. God takes over. And that's the power that we need to tap into. It's not about you. It's about Him. It's not about our power, our strength, our insecurities. It's about God's power and God's strength. Finally, Moses closes his argument with this: "God, can't you just find somebody else? Basically, I don't want to do this. Just find somebody else." Look at verses, chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. He says this: But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, "What of your brother Aaron the Levite? I know that he can speak fluently. Even now he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, his heart will be glad." In other words, does God get angry? Of course he does. He's slow to become angry. He's always quick to forgive. He's always great to show grace. But God does become angry. And after five times, "Well, you know, God, who am I? God, who are you? I don't know. What if they don't believe me? Look, I'm no good talking to people. Can't you just find somebody else?" Shut up, Moses. Listen to me. It's not about you. It's about me and my power in you to get my people to get free. Can't you just send somebody else? God equips Moses with a power. God equips Moses with power. And power is found in teamwork. You see that? God started the whole plan like this. God created by saying, "Let there be," and there was. And when he created man, he says, it's not good for man to be alone. So he created a workmate. And so you had Adam and Eve in community. When we look at the power of the gospel, Jesus surrounded himself with 12 people. There is power in community. That's why the local body of church, the local congregation, is so important, because there is power in community. And when we get together and we pray together and we raise our voices and we're all in agreement together, God moves in mighty and miraculous ways. God sets us up in teams, and that's why we need the church. So what's missing? I'll tell you what's missing. The church today is what's missing. We're often powerless. We go through the motions, and we think like, well, what happens if this happens, or what happens? None of that matters, because it's not about us. It's about God. And how are we going to get that message out? The only way we do that is we build up each other in community. And we tap into the power of God. It's not our power. We're going to grow weak. We're going to grow tired. We're going to faint, that the Bible says. But it's with His power we rise up on wings of eagles. We'll run and not grow tired. We won't faint. We'll be who He called us to be and do what He tells us to do. So who is God? What is His name? Jehovah Jireh, the God that provides. Jehovah Rapha, He is the God who heals. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. In other words, nobody can defeat His banner. Jehovah Kadesh, the Lord who makes us holy. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. When the world is going crazy, we get a peace we don't even understand. He's our Shalom. Jehovah Tzidkenu, He is the Lord of our righteousness. Jehovah Shama, He's the Lord who's simply there. And He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. That is His name. And that's the power of God in our lives. Father, I just thank You for today. I thank You for the opportunity to come into Your house and to lift You up in songs of worship and praise, and then to hear You speak to us through Your word. Father, I pray that as we go into our world on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, Father, we would be filled with Your power, that we would be bold, that we would live our lives in such a way that others would see Christ in us. And as always, Father, we pray this in the mighty name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.